Hi, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Transform Your Confidence Show, a place where we don't just provide the what, but we back it up with the how. This week's leadership and advocacy themed episode is entitled How Intention Setting is the Key to Accomplishing Goals with Big Impact. My guest today is Mary Griffin, a Kolbe certified consultant and the co-author of Individual Influence, Find the I in Team, a collaboration with her father, Dr. Brian Smith. Mary, welcome to the show and thank you for agreeing to be on.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited for this opportunity and to be here and meet you and join you. It's really exciting.
Oh my gosh, I feel exactly the same way. So let's just jump right in, shall we, Mary? I'm dying to pick your brain. I know that there's, you know, lots that everyone can garner from, you know, your insights and your experience and everything. So let's just start with learning a little bit about your professional background so we can set the scene for our discussion on the book. I want to ask you this, Mary. I'm just really curious. What is a Kolbe certified consultant? Let's just start right there.
Let's start there. That's kind of where I was going to start anyways, because I was like, that's probably something people are going to know about. So we believe at our firm that something that's really helpful for understanding an individual human is seeing how they see themselves. So we do that through administering assessments. And there are different types of assessments. So the one we're most familiar with is an affective assessment. So things like Myers-Briggs, DISC, these types of assessments, they're measuring your emotional state or how you view yourself emotionally. But Kolbe is actually a new, it's from the 90s. It's new to me.
But that's relatively new compared to a lot of these other tests, right?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And it actually measures cognitive mind. So there are three parts of the mind. There is the affective, which is the emotional, the cognitive, which is like IQ, things that we're more familiar with. And then there's the cognitive. It's how we naturally do our work. It's the only assessment of its kind. And it has what's known as test retest reliability, which means that if you were to take the Kolbe assessment today and then take it a year, 5 years, 10 years from now, the likelihood that it's going to change is less than 10%. Whereas if you take an affective assessment, because it's based on emotion and your emotion can change with your environment, those assessments are really only reliable for about 6 to 12 months after you take them. Although they can remain the same for some people who stay in the same environment or are really, really in tune with themselves and very grounded in who they are. But Kolbe is an assessment that measures how someone is going to naturally perform their work. If they are given the tools and the freedom to strive in their most natural way, how are they going to approach fact-finding? How are they going to approach formatting and organizing work? How are they going to approach brainstorming and keeping things together? Or how are they going to approach dealing with space and tangible items? So they have these four scales and they kind of rank everyone on there. And something I really love about Kolbe too, is that they have measures on the back end that prevent against just shoving someone into a box. So if they find that they're answering questions in a way that doesn't align with their algorithm, it won't give a rating and it'll say that that person is in transition. So they don't truly know themselves in that one area yet. Instead of just saying, okay, well, we're just gonna pretend that you're over here and put you in there. So I really like that they do that. I don't know if other assessments do that because I'm not familiar with the algorithm of other assessments.
Right.
But I do really love Kolbe.
So let me ask you this, Mary. I mean, how fascinating is everything that you just said there? And it's interesting because, you know, most of us in the professional arena have heard of a lot of these kind of, you know, Myers-Briggs, et cetera, all these different types of testings. And I don't know really how seriously a lot of people actually take testing to understand self. But you've just explained how incredibly important it is and you've justified why it is. I know from my perspective, when I bring in clients into my ecosystem, the first thing that I want to understand is how they understand themselves. So I put them through, you know, a series of some of these different types of tests, depending on kind of, you know, what the intention is and what they're looking to accomplish. And it's always fascinating that at the end of our work together, oftentimes they've had a shift. So it's interesting that when you speak about the Kolbe methodology, that the shift is very minimal, which allows us to kind of really assess, you know, the elements that potentially other types of testing doesn't allow us to really be able to hone in on. So let me ask you a little bit about that and the importance of testing to know self, right? Can you explain that a little bit? Like, why do we need to know ourselves? It sounds almost like it's a big question that we're all trying to kind of figure out as humans, but why all these tests benefit us to understand self? And then understanding self, the other part of the question is, why is that important?
So I'll start with the assessments first. What's really important about assessments and something to keep in mind, this little asterisk to keep in mind, is not all affective or emotionally based assessments are going to give someone a true answer about who they are. And that's only because sometimes people answer them in ways in which they wish to be. So people don't always have the correct perception of self, which is why sometimes it's really nice to work with these assessments with a trusted coach or with a trusted friend, someone who really does know you and can kind of view your assessment and say, I definitely see this alignment, or I think that this might be someone who you want to be compared to where you are now. Let's work on some goals to get you to this place. I have had some clients be like that, which is actually really, really beautiful and really great, because it's good to strive to be someone who you want to be. And it's good to share that information with someone to help you get there. But in terms of knowing yourself and finding yourself and creating yourself, it is really important to share that information so that you don't become almost trapped in your own, like web. And by that, I mean, if you don't actually have an accurate assessment, if you don't explore yourself with honesty and transparency, then you can become further deeper down on a path that isn't quite right for you.
Right.
And then end up at a place like a year, 6 months from now and be like, where am I?
Yeah. I took the wrong turn.
Yeah. That assessment wasn't quite right.
Absolutely. You know, it kind of brings me to another question. So, you know, your focus, professionally speaking, is on leadership development and cultivation, is kind of in that kind of arena. What can people expect to get from working with you? Let's tackle that part of things here.
Yes. I think one of my favorite parts about working with people is I really highly value diversity on all different spectrums, diversity of thought, mind, culture, experience. And one of the things people can expect when they work with me is to know that I'm not looking to shove anyone into a box. I'm not looking to say you have to be this way or you have to set these goals. Mm-hmm. I'm more looking for what are some things that you want to work on, or let's just have some conversations and we can discover some goals together if you're not quite sure where you want to go or what you need to work on. Because there are definitely times when people just have blind spots and they recognize that they have blind spots and they're just kind of like, I don't know what goal to set, but these are some of the problems I'm having and I need help moving forward and navigating in a better way, in a more positive way. So when people work with me, they can really just expect that my goal is to build a trusting relationship. My goal is to help them be who they want to be and get to where they want to be. Mm-hmm. And I want them to just feel and develop and grow into their most unique individual self. And whoever that is, like, I support them. My only hope is that they trust me and that they put the effort in.
Right.
Because I can't force someone to change. I can only give them tools.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's the key factor, guys, is that, you know, oftentimes, and you hear about the statistics out there, people buying all of these digital courses online, people working with, you know, coaches, consultants, mentors, therapists, all kinds of different experts, and then blaming the process Because they themselves aren't motivated enough to actually trust the process and trust the methodology. So I love that you kind of, you know, mentioned that a little bit, because, you know, at the end of the day, guys, I mean, if you're not going to discipline yourself to get the work done, then no amount of the best people and experts and courses and processes in the world will ever get you anywhere. It really does come down to you trusting the person and or the service or the, you know, knowledge and the action resources that you're being given and doing the work, just like Mary said. So Mary, let me ask you this. Who is your client avatar specifically? Like, Who is best suited to work with you?
People who are best suited to work with me are typically people, I know I already said this, but people who want to work on themselves. There are definitely times when I have clients come in and they only want to give the appearance of working on themselves. And I think that they think that I don't notice, but I notice. I know. I can tell when someone is saying what I want to hear, and I can tell when someone isn't really doing the work. And for me, another, going back to the assessments thing, another one of my favorite assessments is actually the StrengthFinders assessment. It is an affective assessment, and my top strength based on that assessment is developer. So I feel really, really rewarded when I get to help someone grow and cultivate the most like positive experience for themselves. So for me, like working with people who actually want to grow and who are open-minded and who have like a growth mindset, they understand that they can learn, that they can fail, that they can do anything and everything is going to be okay. As long as they're growing and showing up, that's really what I need to feel like connected and like I'm helping the world.
Absolutely. Hear to that. It really, you know, as a business consultant, as a certified coach myself, I can absolutely attest to how important, you know, that sense of responsibility is to help people actually step into who it is that they want to be, who it is that they're looking to accomplish. And there's nothing more satisfying or gratifying, right, Mary, than seeing people really make these kind of momentous leaps forward just by maybe accessing one or two simple methodologies or ideologies. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I 100% agree. I don't think there really is anything that's more rewarding than just seeing how people grow and how happy they feel when they can grow. Because I think sometimes people don't realize how much they can actually grow and like how much power they have over themselves. But it's like, you have the ultimate power over your own life and your mind, and you can do anything that you want. And sometimes you just need the right tool. Sometimes you just need someone to just throw an idea into your brain and plant that seed and let it grow and flourish. And then just seeing how like the sun comes out and the light shines through them is just, there's really nothing better.
there really isn't. You know, honestly, like I love this conversation that we're having, Mary. I want to ask you this because it's a question that I get asked all the time. So I'm putting it to you as a fellow consultant. There are so many business consultants in the marketplace today, Mary. What can you tell everyone watching, listening, and reading this about how you differ in your leadership style, right? And how you have created your niche in the marketplace to support that?
I think that is a really great question. And it's also kind of like a hard question for me to answer, only because I feel like sometimes by segmenting myself, I'm also stating that I disagree with other people's methods, which is not true. So I want to put that at the beginning, that I'm not disagreeing with other people's methods, because I think that there are a lot of methods out there that work. But yes, I think that my method really focuses on like the individual, on using compassion and empathy and good communication, high emotional intelligence to work with a human being, being open-minded with them, being accepting. You know, sometimes as a coach, you have to hear things that kind of, they start bordering on like emotional, and sometimes they just come out. Sometimes it's just like, oh, here's a story that connects with my goal, and it kind of like rabbit holes down. And having the knowledge and the compassion and the love for just a human experience to recognize and communicate with that, I think that that's really important. And I don't know if that's necessarily lacking in other coaches or consultants, but I have read a lot of studies, and a lot of the studies are showing that like most leaders are not utilizing all of their skills like emotional intelligence or empathy or compassion in the workplace, because those things are viewed as being more feminine leading. And sometimes in the workplace, people can see that. I think we're really moving away from this idea. These are like studies from like 2010, 2000s, but they are things that feed my mind and things that I try to be mindful of. Mm-hmm. And I think that balance is really, really important. I think that there's space for all types of energy and for all types of resources. And yeah. I think it's really important for all leaders to understand that like being compassionate and being emotionally intelligent and communicating well, actually caring about people and seeing them as people, that's not a bad thing. That's actually a really good thing. And it will bring your company so much further than if you treat people poorly or just see them as cogs in the wheel and objects that are disposable, because that's not what people are. People are these beautiful experiences that deserve so much more.
Absolutely. My gosh. Hear, hear to that. And you know, for anyone out there wanting to kind of learn more about you and your services, can you maybe top line what some of your services are?
My personal services mostly border on leadership consulting and culture consulting. So individual, like one-on-one coaching or culture coaching, where I do like conflict management, or I coach multiple leaders in one company to help them work better together, or even doing like team, like group facilitation. Mm-hmm. Those are my main areas. And our company does a couple, actually a lot of other things, but those are not areas that I dabble in.
Okay, perfect. So where do we send people if they want to learn more about you, your company, and the breadth of services that you offer?
Yes, we have a great website. It is IA Business Advisors, and advisors is spelled with an S-O-R-S at the end, because I know sometimes people spell it with an E-R-S. We're actually in the process of rebuilding our website. That's going to be launched in September. It's looking really beautiful. I have the wireframe. But yeah, you can learn about all of our services on our website. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm not really, I know I need to be more active. I'm not really as active as I should be, but you can definitely still find me.
Okay, perfect. As long as people can, you know, find you, that's what matters at the end of the day. So can you just give the website URL one more time?
Yes, it's www.iabusinessadvisors.com at the end.com.
Brilliant. Okay. So let's talk about the big idea behind your mission that ties into the book before we get into the book. Yeah. You believe, and I quote, that goals are abstract because they're rooted in the future, while intentions focus on the present. Can you explain this belief system for everyone?
Yes. Yes. So a lot of studies show, especially around New Year's resolutions, that people really do love setting goals, which is super beautiful, but sometimes they don't set smart goals. And by smart, I mean specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely goals. They don't actually break down their goals into ideas that help them reach their goals. And it totally makes sense why people don't reach their goals, because it's like, if you set this goal and you don't kind of break it down, it just kind of seems like this like vague idea in your future that you can never reach. And that's so demoralizing. It's like, you actually have to make steps every day towards reaching that goal, even if it's just a tiny step. And I think sometimes people don't realize that even a tiny step forward is still a step forward, but you still have to lay that plan out. So intentions, by setting daily intentions, for example, if I had a goal and my goal was to bring on 3 new clients in a quarter, some of the daily intentions I could set for myself is just like reach out to one person every day, so one new person every day. I could set an intention of reaching out to previous clients we've worked with, just checking in on them, using communication. I could set the intention of communicating that goal to my team repeatedly to see if they can kind of dig up anything that they're talking about with anyone. So intentions are things that we can do that are smaller, they're more broken down. We can follow them every day. And you can also do like technically abstract intentions. So I intend to be compassionate today, or I intend to have good communication today. Mm-hmm. Even just small things like that. I know that I've had clients who have really been working on their emotional intelligence. So mm-hmm. that's a big goal. Like emotional yes. intelligence is huge.
Yes.
And a daily intention is I intend to be patient today. Or mm-hmm. I intend to track my patients today.
That's a hard one.
Things. I know. But just breaking big goals down into small things that are manageable and keep you moving forward and empower you and encourage you. That's really what it's all about. Because you mm-hmm. can definitely reach goals, and everyone mm-hmm. wants to reach goals.
Mm-hmm. But statistics show that people don't achieve a lot of their goals. So let me ask you this. Can mm-hmm. you share a really simple example that explains how intentions help accomplish goals for those people who don't quite understand the mindset piece around this?
Yes. So, okay. A really easy one is I'm going to break down communication real quick. So okay. communication involves decoding and encoding. Decoding is understanding what someone else is saying to you through their words and micro communications, such as their eyes, their eyebrows, their tone, their body language, and even your subconscious mind processes information like how much are they perspirating? How much are they breathing? Like things that you don't really recognize, but your brain is like telling you all of these things because your brain is really, really smart. Mm-hmm. And then encoding is how do I do all of those things and put my message out into the world? So if someone were to set a goal of, I want to be better at encoding my communication so people understand me more, daily intentions could be something like, today I intend to have a conversation with my coworker, and then I'm going to follow up with them maybe the same day or at the end of the week and ask them their perception of that communication. So you have to...
So is that the intention?
Yes, that is the intention. Okay,
that's the intention. So then what's the goal of that?
The goal of that is to data gather. The more you gather data and understand where you are in relation to your goal, you're basically creating a gap analysis for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I had this conversation with my coworker. I know that I'm working on a big goal, which is decoding communication better or encoding communication better. And at the end of the week, I asked my coworker, hey, like we had this conversation. Can you tell me what your perception was of my tone? Can you tell me what your perception was of my body language? Like, how did I come across to you? Did I seem angry? Did I seem happy? Did I seem calm? Did I seem normal? And then the more information you take in, okay, so my coworker thinks that I was angry, and my coworker thinks that my tone sounded confrontational. So now I know that when I speak that way or when I look that way and do certain things, that is how I'm coming off. And then you repeat that every week to kind of like build a database in your mind to understand how others perceive you. And that's not really about like being how others want. It's about your own goal. Like mm-hmm. I want others to perceive me as calm. I want others to perceive me as happy, but I just need to work on controlling my tone or hearing my own tone. Another good intention you could set if you were really working on tone is recording yourself. Get in a mm-hmm. Zoom chat with yourself and just record yourself and talk and kind of like listen back. Sometimes it's weird to like listen back to yourself, but it can be really helpful too, because you can just pick up on things that you're not going to just hear when you hear yourself speaking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, what I'm picking up from what you're sharing here is part of this kind of relationship or this journey from intention to goal accomplishment has to do with setting something that is measurable. Because without the measuring of it, you don't actually know if you've accomplished the goal, right?
Yes.
And I feel that is a key, you know, aspect that a lot of people do miss out on, at least from my experience working with clients, is mm-hmm. that, you know, oh, you know, this is what I want to, you know, this is what my intention is for accomplishing this goal. And this is the goal that I want to accomplish by said time. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, that's the kind of, And there's no kind of gauging of the success rate, you know, the journey of how to get there. Is there a better way? Is there a way that's more impactful? You know, mm-hmm. are there different journeys that will help me accomplish other things along the way? Like this, it can get really complicated. Like this, yes. this journey between intention and accomplishing goals. So I kind of got a feeling that a part of that also has a lot, you know, comes back to the beginning of our conversation where you also talked about understanding self. You know, yes. I feel that kind of ties in quite beautifully with being able to set intentions that actually do have measurable goals. Right. So let me ask you this now, because I feel like, you know, this is the perfect segue for us to get into the book. Right. So let's do that right now. The book, guys, is called, as I said off the top, Individual Influence, Find the I in Team. So the I we're talking about is the I, the self. So this is a collaboration with your father, Mary. Yeah. Tell us about what led to this co-authoring initiative. Let's start there.
Yes, that's a great place to start. So in 2017, 2018-ish, I had been working for IA for about 3 or 4 years then, and he approached me and asked if I wanted to help him with writing this book about his philosophy on coaching. I learned a lot of my philosophy on coaching from him.
Right.
And well, I also
your father's very established and he's been doing it a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I think he knows a thing or two.
Oh yeah. He knows a lot of things.
Yes.
And I have a bachelor's in English literature. Definitely okay. Not the best editor, but I feel like I'm a pretty good writer and I feel like I can understand a lot of the things he's saying and kind of help put them in a way that other people are also going to understand. So
and that's really important.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because if you're going to share a message more, like you have to make it so more people can understand and relate to it, resonate with it.
Right.
So that's really where it all started. We just kind of started like talking about his philosophy on coaching, his ideas. He journals every single day, has for so many years. He literally has so many of these little like school notebooks that he just writes in every single day. I kind of combed through a ton of them and pulled out all these like different ideas. We threw them together, put them into chapters. And that was our first edition. So this release is actually our second edition. So we've done a heavy lot of editing. We've put in key takeaways at the end of each section so that if someone were to go, oh, I really like that chapter, but I don't really want to reread it again, because nobody always likes rereading. You can just kind of go to the key takeaway and be like, oh, here are the bullet points of this. Okay, good. Let's move forward. Mm-hmm. And then we also added a whole new chapter on bias. So that was really, that was really great.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, Mary, tell us about finding the I that the book's title talks about. What do people need to know?
Yes. So finding the I is all about self-exploration, self-reflection, and that's really what the first book is about.
Okay.
In our philosophy, we believe that the word individual has a dual meaning. It's both me as a singular individual, and it's also us. We are together creating an entity that is an individual. Mm-hmm. So the second and third books in the future, they focus more on how you individually relate to your individual team. But the first book is really all about the self. It's really all about understanding your influence. The I is your influence. It's individual and influence.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just like helps the person explore different areas of self, doing self-reflection, slowing down, being honest with yourself, understanding your communication. The biggest thing that we try to like kind of hammer into the reader at the beginning is just like, this is not going to work if you don't want to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes being honest is really scary. And mm-hmm. in one of the chapters, we even put this little section, like, if you are doing self-reflection and you have memories come up, which can happen to a lot of people that are painful or traumatic, or they don't make you feel very good, talk to someone. Like, don't just like hold that in, write in a journal, mm-hmm. get that out, understand it, and realize that like you are in the present and that you can move forward and you can have healthy emotions and analyze something healthfully.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need help, there's no shame in getting help. There's no shame in seeing a therapist and talking to a friend. Even just if you aren't comfortable doing those things, writing in your journal, So you really, the most important thing you have in life is yourself. And sometimes that sounds selfish, but it's really not, because everyone is so important and everyone is so unique and individual. You have so much to offer the world and yourself, and you're doing a disservice in this life if you don't explore yourself fully and offer your unique influence in your own way to those around you.
Oh my God, I absolutely agree with you. It's what movies are made of. It's what literature is made of. It's what professional development is made of. You know, it's what relationship building is made of. It's that core idea of knowing, you know? So let me ask you this, current book that we're talking about, the second edition, can you break down the journey that the book takes people on?
Yes. So the journey really starts with building the philosophy, helping the reader understand some of the terms that they're going to hear, where the philosophy came from, why it was developed. And that's kind of the first chapter. And it's a little bit, it's definitely shorter than the other chapters, because it's just like, here's some information you need to know so that you can follow along and understand the rest.
The I love that you have a guide, so to speak, so that people can make the most out of their journeying through the book. You know, that's great.
Yes. Laying a foundation is so important, because sometimes if you just throw someone into an ocean without a life raft or without understanding how to swim, what's going to happen to them?
They're going to drown.
So giving the person the life raft, teaching them how to swim, this is our philosophy. These are the terms you're going to hear. And then they enter one of the largest chapters of the book, which is just slow down. And that's so hard sometimes in like our fast paced world, but you have to slow down and calm your mind and kind of just like chill all the thoughts you have running around. And that's not to say that you can't be fast paced, that you can't be fast moving, but there are definitely times when like solitude is really important, when just relaxing and taking time for yourself is really important. So the slowdown chapter really focuses on teaching someone what it means to go slower and how they can do that. So giving them the tools to understand. The third chapter really goes into how you use the product of slowing down to focus and what it means to focus and why focusing is important. So slowing down and focusing are kind of the two big parts, and they're at the beginning for a reason, because if you don't slow down and if you don't focus, especially inward, you're not going to do that much self-reflection and self-exploration, or you might, and it's going to be kind of like hard to understand or half piece together. I definitely have had times in my life when I've tried to not slow down and focus and do self-exploration, and it just gets really confusing. And then we move into understanding your foundation. So start exploring where you came from. How did you grow up? What was the environment around you? What are some of the experiences you've had? How do you learn? How do you enjoy educating yourself? How do you enjoy experiencing life? Like, what are your hobbies? Like, what is the core part of you that you feel makes you, you? And then we start going into, trying to remember the fifth chapter is communication. So we teach people, understand how you communicate, understand how others see you, understand how you see yourself. Start thinking about how you talk to yourself in your mind. Like, communication isn't always outward. Communication is also inward. You have a lot of voices in your mind. Sometimes they're not yours. Sometimes they're like, they're planted from other people.
Right.
And sometimes those voices can be kind of mean. We don't need those. If it's not serving you, making you feel good, uproot them, get rid of them.
Right.
Only have positive thoughts about yourself, because you're beautiful in your own way and you shouldn't compare yourself and judge yourself against others. We talk about bias. So we kind of attempt, and I think do pretty well, to dissect the difference between like subconscious and unconscious bias. So a lot of the times we really only hear about unconscious bias, but I think that there are definitely times in life when people are biased and they might not immediately know where it comes from, but upon self-exploration, you can say, actually, I have this memory and this is where my bias comes from. That's more subconscious. Unconscious is like so deeply rooted, you would never be able to find out the reason why unless you had like hypnotherapy or regular therapy or just something to like really dig what you can't undig by on your own. But sometimes with self-exploration, you can root where your bias comes from based on a memory or an idea or something someone said to you once, or just like an experience you've had. You can go, oh, that is something I should probably work on.
Absolutely.
And then the last chapter kind of just like starts leading them into the rest of the philosophy, which is why it is important to understand yourself so that you can be your best self for your team and others, and what that means to you and what that means to others.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. This sounds like a very intentional journey, one that every single one of us must go on. Like, this is kind of like a ground zero for everyone to understand, you know, who they are, and that will then allow them to empower their environment and the people they work with, you know, and you know, come back full circle and do it all over again. I kind of feel like, you know, the book can be used and utilized at different phases of your journey, and you can kind of do the exercise of this journey that you just, you know, took us through multiple times throughout your life. I mean, let me ask you this, Mary, who is the book designed for? Is there a specific person that you have in mind that this book was written for?
Yes, I actually have two specific people in mind.
Okay.
The first is, I think this book is really, really great for newly entering college students or newly emerging adults who are kind of trying to understand themselves. Our world really expects you. You turn 18, know what you want to do with your life. Know what you're going to be. Know who you are. Who knows who they are when they're 18? Nobody. But that's really what our world expects. It's just, okay, you're 18 now. Get out there. Be who you are. Be yourself. And that's really hard. So the book is for someone who's kind of in that phase. It's kind of like, I'm emerging from high school, or I'm entering the workforce, or I'm starting something new, but I don't quite know who I am yet. Like, I need to explore myself. And then the second group that I really see it helping with are leaders who want to build high performing teams / team members who want to be part of building high performing teams. Mm-hmm. And I kind of make that kind of slash. I personally believe that even if you're not an appointed leader, even if you're not like a C-suite employee, even if you're not a manager, you can still be a leader. Like, you can still help people understand how to act, how to communicate, how to interact with others just by leading by example. So when I say leaders, I kind of mean like anyone. But
anyone in a position of responsibility.
Yes.
Down the food chain, right? Yes. So that could even, you know, this could also be very helpful, even, you know, I say even as if it's an even, but it's not even an even, it's a V even, if you're a mom or a parent, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, like, what is greater leadership requirements in terms of the massive responsibility of that role, right?
Oh my gosh, 100%. I really agree with that so much, because you are literally creating and cultivating a mind from scratch. You have to understand your influence on building an entire existence that enters the world.
Oh my God. So, you know, moms, dads out there, don't just, folks, just don't just think about this from a professional perspective. I mean, what is a more fulfilling role in life than parenthood, and that nurturing relationship that's lifelong, that we also, as you know, adults learn from. We learn so much from the relationship that we have with our children. So I think that this book is really, you know, multi perspective in terms of how you can really incorporate it into knowing self. You know, there's so many aspects to knowing self, and how it can benefit yourself and the environment around you. Let me ask you this. What do you hope people get out of this book? Like, what is the big value proposition that you hope people will be able to get?
I think the biggest thing that I want people to receive when they read the book is confidence and calm and stillness, and knowing that they're important, that there are almost 8 billion people in the world, but don't let that number make you feel like you're not important. Don't let your current place in life make you feel like you're not important. You are so important to our ecosystem. You have so much value to give. And sometimes it might not feel that way. You know, we have a lot of mental health problems in our world, and we have a lot of poverty and a lot of issues. But just because these are hard things that are happening, they are also truths of the world. And you have the power to control your influence. And the only way that you can do that is by knowing yourself. And it is the most holy thing you can do, is to explore yourself fully. You deserve it. You're beautiful. Mm-hmm. You're amazing in your own way. And understand in that as well, that who you are, there is someone who is the exact opposite of you, because you cannot have anything that exists in life without the opposing force. Like, mm-hmm. light does not exist without dark. You have two sides of the coin. Mm-hmm. That's okay. And that's what makes life beautiful. That's what makes diversity beautiful. So understand that, like, you can be yourself, and that is what makes you beautiful. Don't let anyone tell you that who you are is not okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a powerful one right there, because you are okay, and you are enough, and you are all those things that we talk about today in pop culture. You know, where can people grab a copy of the book? Is it available everywhere?
It is kind of available everywhere. Yeah. We have it at
all formats. Mobile.
We don't have soft cover. We do have audiobook, ebook, and hard copy.
Okay. All right. And all booksellers online, yes. as well as, you know, physical stores, I'm assuming, would have copies of it.
We are working on getting in physical stores. Okay. The book just released on Tuesday. Yeah, it was this Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh.
So
we got you hot off the press, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we're kind of making moves to get in the bookstores. But we are on Amazon. We're on Barnes & Noble. The audiobook is free with Audible. I know that sometimes you get credits. So if mm-hmm. you were interested in listening, some people are auditory learners, which is a better way. Yeah. Whatever is your best method of learning and digesting information, it is available to you.
That is brilliant. So for anyone still out there who, after this whole conversation that we've had, isn't quite clear on cultivating the I and how it can benefit business, personal life, spiritual life, can you shed light on that piece specifically in a simple as terms as you possibly can?
The simplest terms of why it's so important to find your influence is because you deserve it. Mm-hmm. You just do. You deserve to explore yourself, to know yourself, to find yourself, to create in this body and in this life. You just do. You deserve
it. Yes. You know what? And there's nothing more powerful than that, right? Any final words that you'd like to leave everyone with, Mary, on today's show theme, which again is how intention setting is the key to accomplishing goals with big impact?
I think my last parting words are just, I hope that you know how important you are. I hope that you know that you can do anything you set your mind to. You have the most powerful computer sitting right between your ears. And some days it might work better, some days it might not, and that's okay. That's part of the human experience. Just enjoy the ride, set those goals, keep moving forward, keep a growth mindset, stay open-minded, and love yourself. Show yourself compassion, because you really do deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mary, where can people hang out with you on social media? You mentioned LinkedIn. Are you on any of the other stuff?
I am not.
My
Mostly
gosh.
Mostly on LinkedIn.
Are you a millennial?
I am.
How are you not? I love this.
I used to have all the social platforms. I used to have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. But about 6 years ago, I just felt this just like immense toxic energy from it. And
yeah.
I don't think that it's always that toxic. And I just think, you know, for each person, it's different, but yeah. I couldn't have that in my sphere.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What a lovely answer, guys. I mean, you know, these are wonderful things to hear, especially from the generation that created this entire world of social media and created it, meaning, you know, are the biggest users of it. You know, it's incredible to hear that. You know, sometimes shutting off from things that really are none of your business is kind of a good idea. And also to shut people out of your business when you don't want them to be a part of it. So I love that. I have loved our conversation, Mary. Thank you so much for bringing your wealth of wisdom and insights to the show for our community to kind of really benefit from. Thank you so, so much.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It's been amazing.
Oh, I'm so happy. Guys, if you haven't already tapped into the importance of your self-leadership, I really want you to kind of, you know, think about the importance of grabbing a copy of Mary's book, Individual Influence, Find the I in Team. And drop her a message to see how you can benefit from working with her if you feel that some of these kind of concepts are things that you want to be able to tap into, or you also want to kind of maybe take to the next level for whatever the reason is that you feel it's important to you. And guys, I really hope that you got some real value from today's show. As I always, always say to you here at the end, I really hope that you will share it with everyone you know who you feel needs to get today's learnings. I also hope that you'll subscribe to my YouTube channel and hit the notification button at the Open Chest Confidence Academy so that you never miss an episode when it drops every Wednesday. You can also download the Transform Your Confidence show on podcast platforms. And guys, if you feel that it's a valuable resource to assisting your journey to empowering your confidence with actionable insights, give it a 5-star rating. I would be so, 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 so humbly appreciative of that. You can also consume the podcast as a blog. I say this every single week as well. Just head on over to the openchestconfidenceacademy.com/media/podcast. And I'll see you next week for another invaluable episode packed with insights and learnings to help empower your work, your life, and your spirit. Take care of yourselves, my darlings. Thank you so much for staying till the end. I really hope you enjoyed the show. Before you leave, I would love for your support by subscribing to my show and letting everyone you know about it and have them come take a listen. I would sincerely appreciate you joining me at LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Search Raj Gurn and the Open Chest Confidence Academy. Until next week, I hope you continue to cultivate your own ecosystem so that everyone in and around it is empowered by your mission to elevate them all. See you next week.